Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Portland podcast. Mosaic exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We come together on Sunday as one church in two locations in Northeast Portland and North Portland. Come join us at one of our gatherings. For times, how to find us, and more information, visit our website at www.mosaicportland.org. We look forward to worshiping with you. Here's this week's talk.
And I want to welcome you to Mosaic today. My name is Jason, and I'm really excited to open up God's Word with you this morning. I don't know if you've ever had this experience or not before, but you walk into a new restaurant, and you sit down at the table, you have some friends with you, and you get a menu. Thanks. You get a menu, and you look at the menu, and you're torn between two things on the menu. It's happened to you. New restaurant, you have no idea. Two things on the menu that stand out, the fish and chips and the cheeseburger. And so you're looking at the fish and chips, and you're contemplating the cheeseburger, and you're going back and forth in your mind. The server comes to your table. The server says to you, you know, are you ready to order yet? And you say, give me another minute. And then he comes back again, and he says, are you ready or do you need another minute? You're like, another minute. And you're going back and forth, cheeseburger, fish and chips, and it's just this battle within you. And so you finally succumb to the fish and chips, and the server comes back, and you say, I'd like the fish and chips, please. And then the girl that you came with, one of your friends, is sitting across the table, and she says, I think I'll have the cheeseburger. And then the food comes out, and you start to eat your fish and chips, and you discover that they're mediocre at best, and you're angry. The rage is boiling up in your soul. And you look across the table, and your friend is there, and she's eating her cheeseburger, and she looks at you, and she takes a bite, and she's, oh, this cheeseburger is amazing. As cheeseburger goodness is dripping down her chin, and you just want to kill her. You just want to end her life right there on the spot. This week I had two choices. I had the choice between the fruit of the spirit of kindness and the fruit of the spirit of goodness. And I chose goodness, and I hope you don't want to kill me for that. We decided that we were going to combine kindness and goodness, and when I started to study, I realized we're going to have to choose one because they're two different things. And so I chose goodness because I prayed about it, so you can't really get mad at me because I prayed about it. But two, because goodness is different than some of the other fruits of the Spirit that we've been looking at. It's kind of different. It's unique. It takes us in a bit of a different direction. Kindness is God's gentleness. It's his sweetness. It's his tenderness. Goodness is God's integrity. Goodness is the reality that God is virtuous by nature. It's who he is. And his virtue flows out of the goodness of his heart. It flows out of his very person. So you've heard the phrase before, out of the goodness of one's heart. That's actually getting at the idea of biblical goodness. That God is good. He always acts out of his goodness. Everything he does is good, because he's intrinsically good. It's who he is. So that's what we're going to be looking at today, God's goodness. And what we're going to see is that God's goodness is something that we as followers of Jesus want to emulate. It's something that we want to mimic, that we have a desire for, and we actually want it to be a part of our own lives. That desire is something that when we trust Jesus, the Spirit puts in us, and he begins to grow goodness out of us. That desire to be like God, to have integrity, to act virtuously as God is virtuous, is an actual desire in us. But what we're going to see today is that our desire for goodness grows, doing the right things is still a battle. Having integrity is still like a tug of war inside of our souls. We get pulled in two different directions. So I want to talk about first how our desire for God's goodness gets into us, how that becomes our desire, and then second, I want to talk about how we can actually fuel that desire, how we can kindle that desire in our lives. So we have God, and God is a God of integrity. And what that means is when we're trying to figure out what's good, whether something is good or not, he is the best place to go. It's imperative that we go to God and not listen to everybody else's opinion first. That we start with God, because God, by nature, intrinsically, it's who he is. He's virtuous. It's the core of who he is. If you have Facebook or Twitter or something like that, a social media, you could go on there and you could define good however you want, because you'll find a friend who defines good the way you want to define good. It's a very subjective experience. It's a moving target, what is good. But when we go to God, we actually have a definition that of goodness, goodness defined for us that's solid. It's who he is. His heart is all good. And so all of his actions are good. He always acts out of the goodness of his heart. Psalm 119:68 puts it this way. You are good, God, you are good, and what you do is good. Acts 10:38 says that Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit and went around doing good. So we've got the Father who is good. We've got the Spirit empowering Jesus to go about and do good. You have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit, partnering together, teaming together to do good. Why? Because that's who God is. That's who he is. He can't not do good. They're on the same team, working good out in the world, doing what is virtuous in every situation, integrity. But there are times when God says and does things that don't seem good. God says and does things that don't seem good. When we look at Scripture and we open it up and we're honest with it, and one of the things we want to do at Mosaic is to be honest with Scripture. We don't want to pretend there's not hard stuff in there. We don't want to pretend like it's all roses and happy and easy. Sometimes we look at Scripture and we see what God does and it doesn't appear to be good. Like the time when Jesus went into the temple with a whip and started yelling and screaming. That's one of those times because was that good? He was angry. Here's what happened. Jesus went into the temple in Jerusalem. And what was happening was there were these scammers who were in the temple. And they were selling animals for sacrifices. So birds and things like that. And they were charging exorbitant prices for these animals. And God says it's decidedly not good when people try to make religion a business. God is not into that. Not only is God not into that, but he was angry that these scammers were charging exorbitant prices for these animals. And what he was doing was, or what they were doing was they're making it difficult for the poor to engage in worship. And so Jesus comes into the temple and into the courts where these scammers are doing their thing. And it says that he's got a whip. It's like, you know, Clint Eastwood, you know, walking into the temple courts and Jesus begins screaming and cracking the whip, yelling at the scammers. This is a house of worship and you're turning it into a den of robbers. And he's flipping tables over and money is flying and there's bird feathers everywhere. How is it that that's good? How is it that that's good? Jesus cracking the whip, literally and figuratively. It's not always apparent how something God does is good, particularly when it's harsh. And in this case, it was good because something that wasn't right was happening. And Jesus was stepping in to correct a wrong and to make that wrong right. God's goodness isn't always kind. It isn't always sweet. It isn't always gentle. But it's always good. And we can know that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him. Even evil things that we see happening in our world. Even a shooting. Police were shot again today in Louisiana. Even the attack in Nice. Even the coup attempt in Turkey. That God can take evil that's happening in our world. Evil that he didn't initiate. And he can actually use it and will use it for good. He can't not do that. It's who he is. It's part of his nature. He can't help but be good. And the same is true for people who follow him, for people who know him. We actually become more virtuous. We become good as he is good. We watch him do what he does. We're like children who imitate our Father in heaven. We mimic him. We watch him. Many of us have seen children imitating their parents, copying their parents. One of the times that stands out for me the most was a time that I went to Haiti. I was with a medical team from Mosaic who partnered with our organization that we partner with in Haiti called Haiti Foundation of Hope. And we went and I went with a medical team, and I'm not a medical person. They needed a pastor to come along, I guess, to be the prayer guy. So I came, and I was like, just don't ask me to put a needle into anybody. I'll be good. And so I went, and one of the things that stood out to me the most when I got to Haiti, one of the first things you notice if you go to Haiti is you'll see people, Haitian people, carrying massive things around on their head, like a 70-pound basket of fruit, just piled with tomatoes and bananas and mangoes, carrying it, no hands, just balancing this basket. You'll see a person carrying a bucket of gravel around on their head, and you'll think, so these people really need to learn about backpacks. You know, that's the first thing. And then you go, but this is what they do. And as I was riding in a car down the road, I looked over to my right, and here was this little Haitian girl, 3 or 4 years old. And she had a plastic water bottle, and she was holding it with her hand, but she was holding it like this on her head. She was walking down the street. And I realized this is a girl who's mimicking the adults in her life. She's imitating a parent. She's practicing. She's doing what she's seen, modeled for her. It's the same way with children of God. As we gaze on God's goodness, as we see God and we see the good that he's doing, we actually begin to imitate him. We begin to want to be like him. The more we see him, the more we'll want to do as he does. 3 John verse 11 spells this out. John is writing to these followers of Jesus. And he says, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. God's kids imitate his integrity. We do what we watch. We do what we see. People who don't see God, people who don't know God, typically don't want anything to do with God's virtue. I mean, if you think about it, God's virtues to a person who doesn't know God make no sense. They're not that all that appealing. God's virtues to a person who doesn't know Jesus, a person who doesn't see God, why on earth would they ever want anything to do with God's virtue? It's a really tough sell when you start looking at what God says is good and actually forming your life around that. People aren't like lining up. They're not lining up to report unethical practices at work, you know, and possibly lose their job. They're not lining up to save sex for the person they marry. That doesn't make any sense to a person who doesn't know God, who doesn't see God, who doesn't aspire to be like God. But here's the crazy thing. Those things actually become our desires when we fix our eyes on Jesus. Those things become things we want to do. Doing the right thing, according to what God says is the right thing. Not what your friends might say is the right thing, not what the culture says is the right thing, but what God says is the right thing. Doing those things become our desire as we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. It's nuts. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense, but it happens all the time to people who give their lives to Jesus. It happens all the time. I remember a conversation I had a few years ago with a woman who was new to following Jesus, and she'd been living with her boyfriend for like 8 years. And she said, I don't think I want to do this anymore. And I said, well, why? She said, well, because I want Jesus' will to be done in my life. I want his kingdom to come in my life. Nobody had told her, you have to do that. The Holy Spirit was speaking to her. Her desires were changing. And for many of us, as we've yielded our lives to Christ, Our appetite for God's goodness has grown in us. Evil has begun to lose its appeal to us. Yet, even though the deepest desire of our hearts is to imitate God's goodness, it's still a battle. It's still a battle to choose to do what's right. Evil is still a temptation. And sometimes we give into that temptation. We don't do the things we want to do. We do the things we don't want to do. Even though at our core, our desire is to imitate our Father in heaven, to be like Jesus, to let the Holy Spirit transform us, to copy our Father, even though that's our core desire, there's still a tug of war in our hearts, isn't there? We still have flesh. We still have old habits that die hard. We still have this body that we were born with that is disposed to doing evil. That's the war that's within us. In fact, in Galatians chapter 5, where we read about the fruit of the Spirit, there's a couple of verses just before the fruit of the Spirit is listed, where this battle between the Holy Spirit and our flesh is laid out for us. Galatians 5, verses 16 and 17. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." We deeply want to imitate God, but our flesh is at war with that desire. And after this week's historic violence, this awful, tragic violence in Nice, I read a headline, and it was a satirical headline. It was intended to be funny. It was in The Onion, and I don't know if you know about The Onion. The Onion's not a Christian thing by any means. But this was the satirical piece that the headline that was written in response to the violence in Nice. Sources reported that a dazed and utterly dejected global populace half-heartedly muttered the phrase, "People are inherently good." I don't know if you caught that, but what The Onion is wrestling with and pointing out is something that we know as followers of Jesus to be true, and that's that we're not actually inherently good. That we are disposed to evil, to racism, to greed, to envy, to violence. That apart from Jesus, our flesh wants to pull us in the opposite direction of God, that God's virtues are not attractive to us, that we're not interested in doing life his way. And yet when the Holy Spirit comes and takes residence in our lives, our desires change. And there's this battle that happens inside of us. If you desire to be good, if you desire to be like God, to grow more like your Father, and yet it's a point of wrestling for you. It's a struggle. It's a battle in your heart. I have some very good news for you. That's actually evidence that the Holy Spirit is alive and working in your life. It's not that you're fundamentally busted up or broken or you're wrong or degenerate. It's not that. It's not that there's something wrong with you, that you're not figuring out the Christian life while everybody else is. If there is a battle going on in your heart for integrity, and you feel tugged by the Spirit in one direction to do good and by your flesh in the other direction, that's evidence that Jesus has made his home in you and that he's working on you. If you feel no tug of war, if it's not a battle, that's actually a red flag. If you think to yourself, God is pretty much on board with whatever I think is right, and he's pretty much validating my life and whatever I do, if that's where you're at, and there's no wrestling match in your heart, one pull toward integrity and a pull toward your flesh, that's the instruments on your dashboard trying to get your attention that you need Jesus, and you're not understanding God's goodness. It's a red flag. When you come to church and you sing your heart out to Jesus, but you feel no conviction about being drunk the night before. When you say, I love God, but I hate the person who got promoted ahead of me. When you talk about all the ways that God has blessed you, has taken care of you, yet you turn a blind eye to the people around you who are hurting, dejected, poor. See, when our desire is to be like our Father in heaven, stuff like that ought to really bug us about ourselves. There ought to be a pull. We ought to feel this tug of war to do what's right when we're tempted to sin, and conviction when we do. Because our flesh is at war with the Spirit who's in us. If you're a believer, the Spirit is in you. And there's a battle. He's planting God's character in you. He's planting God's goodness in you. But that's at odds. That's at odds with your flesh. So that desire that we have for God's goodness, it has to be fueled. It has to be kindled. Because like any desire, that there's a ebb and a flow to it. Desire isn't constant. It comes and goes. So there are a lot of ways that you can fuel your desire for God's goodness. And I'm only going to talk about one today. And it's one that many of you have heard before. And it's this. To read Scripture. Specifically, to read large chunks of Scripture. I'm not talking about just reading a verse and trying to figure out what God's saying to you and what God wants to, you know, why that verse is for you. That's good. But I'm talking about reading a chapter or two chapters or three chapters of Scripture at a time. To actually put yourself into a situation, into a position where you can see God, where you can see what He does, where you can feel the rhythm of His goodness. Let God speak for Himself in Scripture. As you read it, I'm participating. Mosaic is doing something we call the Daily Word, and if you go to our website, you can click on a link to the Daily Word, and it's a couple chapters of Scripture that we read together every day. I'm the type of person who struggles to read my Bible every day, so if you're not an everyday kind of reader, you're in good company. I find myself having to catch up. You know, I haven't read for 2 days. I got a bunch of catching up to do. That's okay. What I'm doing. As I'm reading Scripture, what I'm finding is that it puts me in a seat where I can see my dad in heaven. It puts me in a position where I'm putting Himself in front of me so I can actually see His goodness, so I can engage His goodness. His Holy Spirit shows me His goodness. Pulling out verses that stand out in my head, He's drawing my attention. It's the Spirit speaking to me as I'm in Scripture. This is the benefit of reading Scripture. We will see as we do this that sometimes God is tender. Sometimes He's confrontational. Sometimes His love is obvious. His grace is obvious. His sense of justice emerges. But in all of those things, He's always good. He's always good. Allow who He is to emerge from the text as you read. I want to invite you to do that. And as we read Scripture and as we see God, may we be the kind of people who grow in kindness. May we be people of integrity. One of the biggest criticisms people who don't trust Jesus, who don't believe in Jesus, and who want to have nothing to do with church, one of their biggest criticisms of us is that we're hypocrites. That we lack integrity. That they have this idea that our God is different. That His love is different. And yet, that we often talk about how great that is, but we don't live lives that demonstrate that that's real to us. May our integrity grow as we see God and as we long to imitate Him, the way a child imitates a parent. May we come to the point where we'd rather be consistent than cool. May we come to a place in our lives where we'd rather have integrity than a promotion. May people see God in our good deeds and be drawn to Jesus. That's my prayer for Mosaic, and that's who He's making us and who He wants us to become. Jesus Himself understood this tug of war. Jesus understood this struggle, this battle to do good. Moments before Jesus was arrested and ultimately crucified, He was in a garden. And as he sat in that garden, he was praying to God, and he knew he was going to hang on a cross. He knew that God's plan, God's good plan, was for him to die, for him to hang on a cross and to bleed and to have his body pierced, to forgive our sins and to bring us back into relationship with God. Jesus knew that was coming, and it was a struggle for him to want to do what was good. He actually said to the Father as he was praying, as he was anticipating the cross, he said, God, if there's any other way, Father, if there's any other way, please take this cup from me. Please take this suffering from me. But not my will, but yours. God gets the tug of war. Jesus understands that. He can relate to that. But he's also our model of what integrity looks like. That by his grace and out of his goodness, he chose to hang on a cross, to bleed and to die, to forgive us. And then he rose from the dead and conquered death. And so today we're going to come to this table and we're going to celebrate God's goodness. That it was his choice, that it flowed out of who he is when he hung on a cross and he died. Let's ask him to help us in our struggle with integrity, to strengthen us, to empower us, to trust in his goodness, and to let him have his way in our lives. So let's worship God together.